I'm reading the scripture reading, and I kind of felt like I was already there. One of my favorite things, I just love roller coasters. I really enjoy them very much. I like Disneyland because it has all the other, when you're standing in line, it has all that stuff to look at, and it has fun shows and all that. But I love roller coasters. And I think I love to, you know, I've been with people who want to, you know, be all, they got the attitude, you know, I'm bad, nothing's going to scare me, you know. That, I get on them, I throw my arms up and scream the whole way. It's so much more fun. And we scream, and with my whole family, we scream and we laugh, and it's wonderful. But I think that when life is like a roller coaster, we don't seem to have so much fun with those ups and downs and flips and spins and turns. Even people like me who enjoy roller coasters want to have our lives a little more staid, a little more even. And when life seems to be flipping us upside down, it's hard to just throw your hands up and scream and laugh. It's not the same thing at all. And I was kind of thinking about that. Why do I enjoy roller coasters so much, but when I'm flipping upside down in life, I'm just kind of hanging on, white-knuckling it, you know? And part of it is, when I go on a roller coaster, I totally, completely, and utterly trust the engineers and the inspectors that this is a physically sound thing, and that the physics are going to be okay with the, you know, the ratio of the gravity, and the, that it's not going to go flinging off the track. It is, in fact, going to make the loop all the way around, and everything's sound, and therefore I trust it so much that I just have fun. I think somersaulting is fun, and I think somersaulting wildly through the air is a blast. So here's my thing then. So if somersaulting is fun because I trust the structure, do I trust God enough to be supporting me through life that when I'm being flipped upside down, I can just go, oh, wow, God, that was unexpected, rather than, what is happening? I just wanted to go along smoothly, just, you know, for a few hours would be nice. So I was reading the scripture, and the scripture kind of is a roller coaster when you start out. The thing is, you got to start out paying really close attention to that opening phrase there, that opening, do not be afraid, little flock, for it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. If you were here last week, and you remember that far back, we were talking about the rich man who stored everything up, and then he was like, he was real excited because he had such a big harvest, he was going to build up whole new barns to store it all in, and God said, you missed the point, you're dying tonight. The point is not to be hoarding things. The point is to be sharing them around, right? So today, then, it's just a few verses later. Jesus, this is the same conversation Jesus is having. He didn't wander off and start talking to new. This is the same conversation he's having, Luke's reporting. And we pick it up again. And Jesus is saying then, to trust. It's God's pleasure to give us the kingdom. And if we are not experiencing what we anticipated in that kingdom, then it's for us to think about what is impeding that. Is it something within me that is preventing me from experiencing the kingdom? Or is it some other human-made problem? Because God's good pleasure is to give us the kingdom. And so what would that be we need to hold on to? We need to hold on to that vision. We were talking last week about being focused on the goal, being focused on our purpose, holding on to that vision of what God wants for us. health and wholeness for all people. God wants us to be the body of Christ, sharing that health and wholeness. This is when all people can live together and experience that health and wholeness, we are experiencing, we are living in God's holy realm, God's kingdom. It's God's pleasure. This is what God wants. This is what God longs for. Our problem, a lot of times, I think, happens because we get confused about what we're looking for. We get confused about it, and we start looking at other stuff. Other stuff as symbols of God's kingdom rather than really focusing on God. So it follows that. Don't be afraid. It's God's kingdom. It's God's pleasure to give you the kingdom. So don't hoard your stuff. Don't store it up here. Don't even really spend a whole lot of energy working on that, because why? Rust destroys, moth destroys, thieves can steal it. And we spend a lot of time and energy collecting stuff that's going to, you know, get destroyed over time. And we spend a lot of time protecting that with multiple layers of security to make sure that our stuff is protected. Right? And making sure, you know, doing our best to make sure that the moths and the rust aren't destroying it. The thieves aren't going to get it. And God's saying, but that's not the point. That's not the point. You know, there was a time, I told you before, I'm so sick of packing. We got another load of stuff came down this week. It was too big to fit in our van, our barbecue grill, and a tree. It didn't survive the trip very well. This poor tree is really sad looking on the front porch right now. I don't know if it's going to make it. But then just stuff. This is really actually kind of entertaining, because the people, I wasn't there to help load it up, and I'm getting text message, you know, everything in this other spot is gone. I'm like, I don't know that everything, that I'm texting back, I don't know that everything's, it came. And we're looking, what came? And I opened it up, and I'm like, okay, this is a bag of recycling. Wanda, take it over to the recycling bins. Okay, this is, wow, this is actual just garbage. Everything came, really. But yeah, we were working so hard to make sure it doesn't. There was a point at which I thought, you know, it'd be really nice if thieves came in and just stole the rest of this, so I didn't have to deal with it. How wonderful would that be? What I call curious blessings. Those blessings that come that we look at them and say, okay, God, I know you're trying to do something nice for me here, but I'm not sure what it is. It's kind of a curious blessing. Yeah. To have all your stuff stolen and then you're free. Think of how free you would be if everything got stolen. You wouldn't have to deal with it anymore. And then you could go back to focusing on doing what God wants us to be doing. How much energy we spend in our lives protecting all this stuff that moths and rust and thieves can strip from us. That persistence of vision, that our life energy needs to be used in helping people to find health and wholeness. Then the next paragraph is so contrary to what we're used to thinking about. The next paragraph is talking about the slaves being ready for the master. In our culture here, we are not used in any way to thinking of slavery as anything positive. And so it goes from store up yourself for yourself real treasure. And then it talks about the slaves and the master, the next line. And how excited the slaves are that the master's coming home. They want to be so ready. And to understand that the master is the treasure. It's not about the house they're living in so much as the master is the treasure. We're so used to finding nothing to think about good from slavery. and here. Here Jesus is actually encouraging us to think of ourselves as slaves and to recognize that we are slaves to God and God is our treasure. That relationship and life in Jesus Christ, that's our treasure. And building that relationship is something that rust and moths and thieves can't strip from us. See, this is a place to spend your life energy, because when you open yourself up and use your energy to build that relationship with Jesus, you find that, in fact, your life is used to bring health and wholeness. That Jesus can bring that kind of health and wholeness that nothing else can do for you. Now, I'm not saying that our medical structure today is not a good one, because that's what we usually think of in terms of health and wholeness, because it really is in so many ways. But I will also tell you that if you're broken inside, it doesn't matter how much the doctor works and how hard they study and practice their skills. If you're broken inside, there's only so much that our human doctors can do for us. And how many people do you know, people of great faith, that the doctor said, oh, you got just, you know, a few months, and they live for years and years and years and years, because inside they had something that the doctors couldn't see. There was something inside that brings us a health and wholeness that all the vitamin pills in the world are not going to do for you. Recognizing who our master is, and not just, you know, like the boss. It's not just about being the boss, you know. It's who we actually belong to. And treasuring that. How precious it is to belong to God. How precious that is. No matter who else might claim us, the first and the most important one to claim us is God. We belong to God. We belong to God. How precious and wonderful is that? And when we can keep that focus, then flipping upside down in life isn't as challenging. It's not quite as scary. I'm not going to say you're going to throw your arms up, scream, and laugh. But life isn't as scary. And it goes back to those beautiful words of comfort. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. When you know whose you are, you see. But then the next thing is another corkscrew, because then Jesus says, if the owner had known when the thief was coming, the owner would have been sure the house was locked up, right? Made sure it was safe so the thief couldn't steal it all. So then we're going back to, wait a minute, I thought we were supposed to not be worried about all that stuff, you know? And then Jesus says, and you need to be ready because I'm coming like a thief in the night. You don't know when. Wait a minute. I thought I was trusting you and you are my treasure, and now you're saying you're kind of like a thief and I need to be locking things up, and what? I'm kind of getting confused here. Just doesn't that feel like a corkscrew, one of those corkscrew roller coasters? What happened? Part of our struggle is that we have to have, to survive, we have to have underlying cultural assumptions as a framework. We get those from birth. We nurture each other in those. And that gives us the ability to move forth every day because we have certain assumptions, starting with the sun's going to rise in the east and set in the west. Even when the fog is so thick we can't see it, we're trusting, right? The sun came up in the east and it's going down in the west. That's a starting one. But there's so many cultural assumptions that form who we are that we start to not even be able to see stuff that's outside of those cultural assumptions. So there was a study done on memory. It was done in a college. And what they did is they had students sit there and they flipped up playing cards. And they just flipped them. And then after they flipped like 20, then they asked the students to write down in order the cards they had seen. So they did that the first time through, you know, and the students were writing, you know, four of clubs, ace of spades, two of diamonds, like that. But there would be gaps that they couldn't really remember. And they, like, I don't know what comes next, but then there was a this, you know, so there would be some gaps. And then they would do it again. They'd do it again. And the second time, the students remembered more. And they said to the students, you know, why do you think you remember more? And they said, well, maybe it was, you know, practicing. I kind of, you know, practiced and I got it a little bit. But then they looked and they looked at what the students remembered and what they forgot. And here's the thing. The first time through, they flipped over cards. But some of the cards were like the ace of spades, but it was red instead of black. The two of diamonds, but it was black instead of red. And the cards routinely that the students couldn't remember were the ones that had the wrong color to what we've been trained. Because their minds didn't hold it. That wasn't the right thing. Their minds kind of just didn't even see it happening. They couldn't remember. They couldn't hold on. We've been trained to see things in a particular way, and when it doesn't come that way, a lot of times we don't recognize it at all. We don't recognize what's happening in front of us. It is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. But sometimes we don't recognize that it's happening right in front of us because we're cultured with the wisdom of this world that teaches us our security is all about storing up enough money in the bank and having those CDs for a rainy day and having your house full of stuff. It teaches us that our security is all about national defense and protecting ourselves. It teaches us these kinds of wisdom. And you look at what Jesus is saying, don't spend your life energy on stuff that moths can destroy, rust can destroy, thieves can steal. And yet we're taught that our security is all about making sure you have enough money. Can anybody steal that? Well, yeah. So then we spend our energy trying to protect that money. And does it work? I have a friend who goes in and out of prison periodically, mostly for like DUI sort of things. And he said to me, you know what? Locks are just to keep honest people honest. And if you're not an honest person, a lock's not going to stop it. Now, I remember still very clearly when I was in the seventh grade, and this was back in the 70s, and we were talking about nuclear proliferation and my seventh grade teacher read to us a commentary, an editorial sort of thing by a person talking about how the world was going to be destroyed by this new weapon. That this was the most horrific weapon ever built, ever made. And the human mind that could conceive such a horrible thing just show that there would be no end to the destruction. And we were all struck by that. And then my teacher said, you know what, this was actually written centuries ago talking about the invention of the crossbow. you see. Because every time we build a weapon, after a time, we build an even more destructive weapon. And an even more destructive weapon. You see. No, there's no way ever to build up enough defenses that we're safe. Really. Except when what we value is that precious gift of God in God's holy realm. Because thieves can't take that from us. Moths can't destroy it. Rust isn't there. And when that's our top priority in life, that relationship with God and building up God's holy realm and helping people to have health and wholeness, that inner strength, that peace that passes understanding, dwells within us in remarkable ways. But it takes persistence of vision. That so many times we get so easily distracted, and we come on Sunday and we go, wow, yeah, wow, ooh, yeah. And then on Monday we go back to work. And by Friday we've pretty much forgotten what we were thinking about and how we had made those, you know, conversation with God about how we're going to be changing parts of our lives and aspects, because we fall back into the routines that we know and what's familiar, and we lose sight of what really God is asking of us, until it even seems so strange and foreign we don't even recognize it when we see it. And Jesus says, I'm coming. I'm coming when you don't even know what's happening. And then we say, oh, maybe I better lock the door then. Instead of saying, oh, I better make sure my door is always open because I don't know when Jesus is going to show up. Wow, like a thief in the night, I'm just going to show up when you don't expect it. Ah, deadbolt. No, the door open, the welcome mat out. The sign that says, come on in, friend. It's hard for us to hear those words. It's hard for us. We are culturally trained to think the thief in the night, put on the alarm. Make sure that the rod is with the sliding glass door so it can't be opened, right? We know all those security tricks. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to come when you're not expecting it. Whoa, we're ready to stop you. We got it down. Wait, no, wait. But the point is, are we really ready to receive Jesus? Are we really ready to give our lives fully to Jesus? Are we really having that vision of what our life is about? What brings us real meaning? What brings us that underlying security that we can go forth day to day, no matter what kind of roller coaster we seem to be on, trusting that we are in God's hands? That God is the one who's supporting us and carrying us through every day. Do we have that? Do we have that persistence of vision? That no matter what comes our way, we're in God's hands. God is our treasure. And all the other is just, you know, cut flowers to enjoy for a day and then let go. All of it, over time, is going to rust, decay. The only thing that doesn't is our relationship with God, our life in God. And holding on to that persistence of vision, every day being clear about where our treasure is and who our treasure is, That gives us the joy and the peace and the confidence to live our lives boldly and fully every day, throwing our hands up and screaming and laughing. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't start thinking that I am never white-knuckling it. I'm fully human. And God didn't put me here because I have all the answers perfectly. I think God put me here because you guys have two worship services and a thrift store. I need all of that. All of us together, reminding each other gently, speaking the truth in love, encouraging each other on the way to remember that God is our treasure and that our lives are in God's hands. And when we offer up our lives fully for God to use, God will use us in ways that far beyond our understanding. When I close the service on Sundays, I always quote Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Over time, we'll probably start in September. We'll get it up there, and you guys will start memorizing that with me. But that says, "And now to our God, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish far more abundantly than all we could ask or imagine." When we give our lives fully to God, when we stop putting up barriers to the working of God in our lives, God can accomplish far more abundantly than all we could ask or imagine. Anybody here got a good imagination? You see. Wow. More than we would even think to ask, more than we would ever even dream, God can accomplish through us, through the power at work within us. You see. When we open our lives, when we just trust God to use us, God will use us in amazing, outstanding, outrageous ways to build that holy realm. Persistence of vision, then, this week. I hope you guys have been doing your homework. I hope that once I gave you that assignment to try at least 15 minutes for at least 3 days. I hope you've been remembering to try to do that every week. And if you've gotten the 3 days, maybe more days. I looked at it. I love honesty. Because you know what? You know when you go to the doctor and the doctor says you've been taking your medication? You go, yeah, but you haven't. That's not actually going to help the doctor be able to help you, right? So I love it. People say, we pass it out. We get it back. I don't know how many we have in worship between the two services, but I'm going to guess, you know, maybe like 100 people, maybe 80, 100, I don't know, 120, I don't know, haven't looking. And we got back a total of about 24 responses. Okay, so either people think I don't actually care, or they don't care if I care about what's going on in their spiritual lives, or they flat out just didn't do it and didn't want to tell me. Okay, so, you know, this is the teacher with the homework. I'm collecting the homework. I'm looking at how the class is doing. So, okay, so we already got 80% of the people who aren't saying nothing. Then we got, of that 20%, half of them did it faithfully. So we got 10% of the congregation that prayed at least 3 times for 15 minutes. And then we had 10% that didn't quite make 3 times, and of that, 5% didn't even try. They're like, didn't do it this week. Okay, honestly, excellent to know you didn't even try it this week. Good. At least you're telling me the truth. That's a starting place. Didn't even try it this week. But when you guys think about that, we're a congregation together. It's not about me, right? We're a congregation together. When you think about that, in the congregation, you have 10% of the people who are praying. Okay, so what kind of grade would you give our congregation? Okay, so we're going to think about that a little bit. Now to our God, who by the power at work within us, not God's going to, like, you know, like bewitch, dwink, 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 and now suddenly we're going to have thriving ministries here. It's the power at work within us. Us allowing God to use us. Us investing our life energy to bring health and wholeness. That's what our ministries are about, right? helping people find that health and wholeness, that spiritual health, or mental or emotional or physical. That's what our ministries are about. And if only 10% of the people are really spending time talking with God in a significant way, then we have to think about, wow, how are we actually going to build those ministries? Because the power is at work within us. It's not us coming on Sundays and dusting the pews and waiting for God to do something out there, and then we'll all go, wow, God, you're amazing. It's for us to open our lives up and let God use us. And how amazing is that? Now, if I were to come and I were to say to you, Cecil, I have a stack here of $100 bills this big, would you then, Cecil, say thank you so much and hide it under your mattress and forget about it? Or would you say, oh my gosh, I can do so much with this, I will spend it, every penny of it. Do you have any more, by the way? I am really good at spending money. If somebody were to come to me, you see, this is the thing why I never buy a lottery ticket. One is because, you know, the United Methodist Church were down on gambling. And I thought, you know, how would it be if the pastor won? So, don't do that one. But the second thing is that they never get a jackpot big enough for me. Ever. This is how my mind works. Well, if it was like $600 million and I won it all by myself, about $300 million of it would have to go into taxes, or maybe like $400 million of it. So that would only leave me $200 million. And if I had $200 million, well, then I have to pay off all the mortgages for everybody in the congregation and my family. And, you know, and I started doing, and then pretty soon $200 million's gone. I'm like, okay, so it'd have to be like $700 million. If it got to $700 million, and then it's all gone, I can spend money so fast. I can spend money. But here's the thing. God is more precious than money. God is more precious. And God is right here, right now, saying, here I am. Let's do something amazing together. Let's do something amazing together. One more thing I just got to lift up here. Because sometimes then people will go, wow, yeah, we can do something amazing, but I should have done that 20 years ago. Now I'm, you know, too old for that, right? Okay, so now just think about this. This is really funny. I have to point this out, though. Sarah was 80? Sarah was 80 when she got pregnant, and Abraham was 90 when Isaac was born. Okay, so that, just think about that. Anybody here 80? We got an 80, huh? So what if everybody would come in the prayer, and then Lorraine says, I'm pregnant. Yes, okay, that look on her face, and everybody laughed. And so then you remember when the angel said, you know, Sarah's going to have a baby, and she laughed. Now we know why, right? Like, oh, for sure that's going to happen. But our bodies and the limitations and our frailties are not a limitation to God. That's really what that's all about, is to remind us that our weaknesses and our frailties are not a limitation to God. You are never too young, you are never too old to be used by God. Never too young, never too old. The power is at work within us at all ages, at any time that we open our lives up to be used by God. Will you join me in a prayer? Loving God, we thank you so much that you are our treasure, and that our lives are in your hands. And God, we ask that you would forgive us for those times when we have forgotten that, when our vision has been distracted, and when we have been overwhelmed by life and lost hope because we have been so concerned about all those things that decay. We ask that you would forgive us and help us this week as we turn our attention to you, open our hearts and minds and our lives before you, fill us completely, to use us in surprising, wonderful, amazing ways, that your name might be glorified in all we say. and all we do. And loving God, even as we are praying this prayer, you are aware of the doubts that we hold. God, we have a tight grip on those doubts. We ask that you would help us to surrender all of our doubts and all our fears, all of our weaknesses and all of our failings. Give it all to you so that you might truly use us to build your holy realm and to be a blessing to all the families on the earth. We pray this in the name of Jesus and in the power of your Holy Spirit.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made.